Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
I just wanted to begin today by just saying I think summer is so wonderful. It's such a great time of year. I'm happy that we have a season like summer where we're on break from Bible study. But it is really quite an upheaval, at least it is for me, in our schedules, isn't it? Everything just sort of, you know, your kids are out of school, those of you with little ones, and everything just sort of goes in every different direction, right? A lot of people go on vacation, and for us, we do go on a vacation, but summer is actually one of the busiest times of the year for Greg and myself because we have the Girl Talk outreach, which was absolutely fantastic this year. And over 3,000 women, when we combine Riverside and Orange County together, were part of that great outreach, and we saw such wonderful teaching. And then, of course, we have the Harvest Crusade in August, and that was amazing this year. I just heard one story, one little story that gives you great hope for those of you that are praying for loved ones. I was in the salon yesterday getting my manicure done after a month of not having my nails done. They desperately needed it. And I ran into one of the girls that is actually in part of our leadership here. And she told me the story of her dad, who is Hungarian tough guy. Boy, he has been hard, and his family has prayed for him. His children have prayed for him to come to salvation. He has been a mocker. He has been a fighter. He has been angry at God, and he has come to the crusade. And when she was a little girl and her mother would take her and her siblings to church on Sunday, he would stand out and spit and curse at them as they were going to church. And their mother faithfully took him to church nevertheless. That's another great lesson there. And she said, "Honey, don't pay any attention. Dad's just angry. Let's just keep going." And they did. Well, this man, after how many years of fighting with the Lord, came to the crusade and went forward and gave his life to Christ. And his amazing story. So what a great blessing. Just one little story there for you. And the girl that was sharing this with me, her name is Hannah, she was just in tears. She said, I went down on the field because I couldn't believe it was happening, and she just stood there and watched him as he bowed his head and prayed the sinner's prayer. And she sent a picture to all of her brothers and her brothers who were out there, some in Hawaii and some here, and just saying, "Look what Dad is doing." And she's seen a transformation in his life. It's so amazing. But nevertheless, I am happy summer is over, and I'm glad that it is coming into fall now, and we have the Virtue Bible Study to look forward to. And I don't know if summer has been a joyous time of lots of celebrations and 4th of Julys and picnics and gatherings with your family and vacations, or if it's just been a summer where all I can think of is like a tsunami has rolled into your life. And I don't know if you saw that movie about that tsunami that hit Indonesia, but I mean, you, one minute you're on the beach enjoying a beautiful day, and the next minute cars are in swimming pools and children are caught in trees, and you've been slashed and ripped to pieces. And for some people, it has been that way. And to be frankly honest with you, for some of us in leadership here at Virtue, it has been that way. It has been a season of great testing and trial as those that we love, if not ourselves, have gone through some incredible things and are still going through some incredible things. But I want you to know, on behalf of those of us that have watched this happen and are going through this, that we are here. Because we know the importance of getting Jesus into your life on a level at which you can stand on that sure foundation. This is not just about getting together and having something nice to do on a Wednesday morning. Ladies, it is something nice to do on a Wednesday morning. And trust me, we love every part of it. But I tell you, there is something deeper and more significant that we are praying will take place in your heart as you are here. We are here for more of Jesus. We are here to connect with the God who loves us and controls the universe and is in control of our lives. So I don't know what shape you arrived in today, but some of us are in better shape than others. But we are here to discover that perfect plan that he has for us. And I'm excited, but I'm a touch nervous. I want to just say, how many of you out there are a touch nervous about this morning? I'm telling you, a lot of us that are involved in praying and preparing and planning for this day, the nerves are a lot of things, but we are very excited about what God is going to do here. Underneath just the newness of everything, new year, new lessons, new notebooks, new groups, we are excited because we know God is going to be doing something absolutely amazing, and we're trusting him to do that. Our continuing theme is simply Jesus. And for those of you that are joining us, we started this last year in the fall, and we've been studying the life of Christ, and we've been studying it in compilation with all four of the Gospels. So we've had many, many scriptures that we've read, and we ended last year with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This year, we're going to focus in on that final week of Jesus' life. And let me tell you that all of Scripture, the entire Old and New Testament, hinges on this critical week in the life of Jesus. And without the resurrection, and without the hope of the resurrection, none of this would matter. We would be people most discouraged. And yet we have the proof of his resurrection, and we're going to be studying that final week as we lead into the cross and finally to the resurrection and ultimately to the ascension and the filling of the disciples with the Holy Spirit. It's so significant. And Jesus poses that question to us today, every day. Who am I? Who do you say that I am? How significant am I in your life? He stands in the middle of history, in the middle of time, for we divide time by the dates of his birth. He stands in the middle of time and asks everyone, everyone in this entire world, who am I? Who do you say that I am? He pops up all over the place. Whether you're trying to ignore him or whether you're trying to follow him, you cannot get around Jesus of Nazareth. I heard someone say the other day, I don't do religion. And I think he was putting up sort of a little, don't go there. I know who you are. I know what you believe, but don't talk to me about your Jesus. And they're trying as best they can to block out the significance of Jesus. But I can tell you, you can't ignore Jesus. He pops up all over the place. Every time you write the date on a check or look on a calendar, you are acknowledging the significance of the life of Jesus Christ. And even those who are trying to ignore him cannot ignore him. I think of that man that went forward, that hard Hungarian father who for years was running from the hound of heaven who was pursuing him. And we know that Jesus is pursuing each and every human being to be his follower. He is calling us, so we cannot ignore him. Much as we would like to turn off the volume, we cannot ignore that still small voice, that hound of heaven that is pursuing us. I heard a story about a mom who was reading to her three-year-old, and a three-year-old little boy, and they were getting into the story, and in the middle of the story, they had this interruption, and her monitor for her baby that was sleeping or supposed to be sleeping in the other room went off, and she could hear the baby crying. And in the middle of this interruption, her three-year-old says, no, mommy, don't get up, I'll take care of this. And she thought, I have been waiting all my life to hear this from this one. So he gets up, and what does he do? He walks over and he turns the monitor off. And much as we would like to turn off the monitor sometimes in our lives, we cannot do that. Jesus is unavoidable. And why would we want to do that? He is the most fascinating, awe-inspiring, mysterious, beautiful, unfathomable, misunderstood revelation in all the universe. Why would we run from that? I have sort of just one note, one tune I want to sing up here to you this morning. It's going to be very brief of an introduction. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read you verses 1 to 4. And this is the way that Luke, the gospel writer, introduces his story. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Luke introduces his account of the gospel, and I want to introduce this year's theme of Simply Jesus in the same way. Luke wants to be so clear and upfront about why the gospel is being written. It's so that I, Kathy Laurie, so that you, Rhonda Balick, so that you, Shelley Hurley, so that you, dear lady who has come to the Virtue Bible Study for the first time, may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught, so that we ourselves can be certain about what we believe. I don't know why you signed up for the Virtue Bible Study. Maybe it's a way to make a big church small. Maybe it's because you're looking to make some connections and friends. Maybe you have a few hours free on a Wednesday morning and thought this might be a worthwhile thing to try. Maybe you're a young mommy and thought free babysitting and a couple hours of adult conversation sound really good to you right now. Maybe you've come because you just want to learn more. But let me tell you that the best reason that you can be here today, and those are all fine reasons, really, the best reason that you can be here today, and the Holy Spirit is telling us through Luke's gospel that the reason that we are here studying this is so we can be certain about the things that we believe. Culture today doesn't like black and white, doesn't like absolute truth, doesn't like straight lines and right and wrong. They like to blur everything together. But when it comes down to life and death, ladies, when it comes down to the real crux of things, we all want to know black and white. We don't want a vague pilot at the wheel of our plane. We don't want a vague doctor who's holding the scalpel in his hand, and we don't want to be vague about what we believe about eternity. We want to know. And behind that phrase that Luke is using when he says that you may have certainty is the meaning that you may have security, stability, safety in the things that you have been taught. The Greek word that Luke uses for certainty is the word asphalia. And the word means to not totter, to be sure-footed, and to be firm. It's only used two other times in the New Testament, and both times the meaning is perfectly crystal clear what's being said. In Acts chapter 5, verse 23, we read that the apostles had been arrested for preaching the gospel, and they had been put in prison. And in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors to the prison and let them go. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 23, this is what the officers who came and did not find them in prison said. He said, "We indeed found the prison securely and the guards standing outside the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." These soldiers were testifying to the fact that those prison doors had been bolted and locked shut. They were secured. There was no way anyone was going to get out. Locked down, nailed shut, dead bolted, barred, secure. The other time that it's used in the New Testament is in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. And it's this verse that we may be familiar with. It says, "While people are saying asphalia, peace, safety, and security, sudden destruction will come upon them." So both times that word is absolutely crystal clear. It's so that you can know that you are completely safe and secure. That's what Jesus wants for us to know. That's how he wants us to know him. completely convinced. And the idea in Luke's mind as he's writing to Theophilus, and Theophilus just means, it's a name that means lover of God. And so to you today, the idea behind this, O lover of God, even though you have been taught many things and you may believe many things, we want to know the stability and the security and the dependability and the unchanging authority of the things that we have been taught. Luke is saying, I want you not to just know them. I want you to know them differently than you know them. Bolted down, locked, secure, unshakable, and stable. Not only does Luke put this as the first reason for writing his gospel, he's not just saying, I want you to know this as information. He's saying, I want you to be certain. And we live in a time when not just the world is uncertain about things, but Christians are uncertain about things. There are those who say that, you know, we have to adapt to culture and Scripture needs to make its transition into a new era, into a new time, and we can just reshuffle and reinterpret things that are absolutely clear in Scripture, and they don't know the Word of God in its certainty. They don't understand it, the dependability of it. I was at a memorial service on Sunday, and Shelley and I were there attending the memorial service of a cyclist that we had ridden with off and on throughout the years who was killed on Pacific Coast Highway a couple weeks ago. And at this memorial service, we came across people who had so many different views and opinions about God, about Christ, about sin, about right, about wrong. And we knew that the Lord had us there for a reason, to have conversations with as many of them as we could. And as I walked among that group, I thought, so many of these people have ideas and concepts that are not clear, they're not crystalled in their minds, they don't understand them. And the tragic thing, it wasn't just the non-believers, it was the Christians that I came across that were uncertain about these things. They had ideas about God like clouds in their heads, not like mountains. They were like clouds hovering in their minds. And if you ask them what they think, they tell you the cloud truth that they've come to believe. But along comes some resistance or some pushback, and the cloud blows away, and some new cloud lodges there. Something more convenient to believe, something that is adapted and changed in their minds. Their emotions don't coincide with what they believe. Therefore, they go with their emotions than rather the facts of Scripture and what the Bible teaches. Colossians 2:8 says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking, from the spiritual powers of this world. I want you to know these things. Be convinced of these things and stand securely on these things. When the wind and the streams rise and the rains come, we can stand firm in God's word. Matthew 7:24 said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them in practice is like a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the rain came down and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I want these truths to be a mountain in your heads, not like clouds that are going to be blown away. If you came today with a real desire to know Jesus, to know his word as he reveals himself to us, in the security of the Scriptures, you're always going to find more than you ever thought you came to find. And you're going to see even more than you even knew to want in Jesus. The longer you look at his word and the longer you look at Jesus, the more you're going to see. In Jesus, we have our meeting place with the God of the universe. And he wants to meet with us. I heard a story about a little boy and his mother who were in Washington, D.C. That's where they lived. And they had gone to the National Zoo that day. And after going to the zoo, they went to eat at a restaurant. And they were in this restaurant. And as they were enjoying their lunch together, all of a sudden, the mother heard the roar of motorcycles and sirens. And she saw all the police officers sort of coming into action, and they were clearing the intersection and pushing all the cars back. And she knew right then and there that what it meant was, guys, and she's telling her little ones, here comes the president. Let's go out and see him. And so they hop up, and they're in a perfect spot. They're in the absolute best place to be. They're on a corner, and they come out of the restaurant doors, and they stand on the edge of the curb on the corner just as the motorcycles are starting to drive by, and after the motorcycles come the police cars, and after the police cars come the big black SUVs with tinted windows, and there was the president being escorted in the motorcade. But as they were waiting on the side of the curb, her little guy kept stepping out further and further into the street. And she says, buddy, step back. Come on. You know, you can see him perfectly well from right here. There's nobody in front of us. And she said, you're going to see him really. And he says, I know, Mommy, but I want him to see me. And I think that's what we all want. We don't just want to see God from afar. We want to connect. We want to know him. And he is there for each and every one of us. As much of Jesus as you can possibly contain, he wants to give you this year. So with that, would you just bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father, this year, the beginning of this year, we want to commit ourselves as you teach us in your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we want to know Jesus. We want to love Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. And may we see in him, maybe for the thousandth time, maybe for the first time, how much you loved us in him. We commit this year and this day to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.